Want to get your business in front of real sports fans? The Fade Route with D and Z reaches over 1,000 listeners every month. Are you ready to be part of the in crowd?
Yes!
Email us today. Hit us up at faderoutemail@gmail.com and find us on our socials at Fade Route Podcast. Time to run the go route. We'll talk to you next week.
T-minus 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0, and liftoff.
Coming at you from the AO Studios. It's the Fade Route with D and Z. Here are your hosts, D and Z.
Powered by Riverside FM.
Coming at you live from the AO Studio.
AO.
It's the Fade Route with D and Z in the special Monday morning edition. I am D, and on the other side is Z. Today we've got a great show for you. Pirates pitcher Paul Skeens is struggling. Jaden Daniels has his priorities all screwed up. And Jackson Dart found himself in a familiar place. But we begin today's show with the Lakers. Apparently have new ownership, as Dodgers owner Mark Walter sold his majority to Josh Kushner and Bob Iger for a staggering $12 billion. Walter is reportedly strapped for cash and as recently as last year was investigated for alleged tax fraud by other companies under his scope, doing deals together and not reporting their relationship to one another. So, should Adam Silver step in here, or is $12 billion $12 billion?
Well, let's really think about this here. We'll address the two things separately. We'll address the sale, and then we'll address Adam Silver's chicken shit limp dick response, which is probably going to... with all love and respect, Adam. With all love.
Friend of the program.
Friend of the show, Adam Silver. But $12 billion is $12 billion. But in the due diligence, in the investigation, in the discovery, when you find this dude is engaging in some shady shit, right? These are some shady, shady business practices. Completely legal. That's another story for another time, right? What he's doing, what Walter is doing with his money is completely legal in our current system. It's just shady as hell. Doing side deals with businesses he owns and then not reporting the fact that he owns the businesses or that they're somehow related. So you can undercut contracts. You can, you know, you can behave in a very unscrupulous manner and still profit because, hey, it's your company. So there's that. Is it shady as all hell? Sure. Does it explain why the Dodgers are able to operate the way they do? He's the owner. So where is that money coming from? You got to figure he's funneling some of that money in there somewhere. Follow the money, as Deep Throat once said to Woodward and Bernstein. Or in this case, you know, what we're going to say to Pablo Torre, because Pablo Torre is going to probably do a deep dive on this because it's what Pablo Torre does. So it's shady. It's illegal. It should be illegal, but it is very much legal. They're going to let this go through. Now, being what's the current landscape of the NBA, with Steve Ballmer being investigated, basically the Clippers being investigated for essentially financial fraud in order to keep Kawhi Leonard, you can't let this deal go through. I'm sorry, you can't. You have to put it on hold pending an investigation, and you have to do your due diligence. Yes, I get $12 billion is $12 billion. I understand that. He flipped it after spending $10 billion to acquire the Lakers. So he's only making a $2 billion only, you know, couch cushion money, $2 billion. But still, it stinks to high heaven. And if Adam Silver had a pulse in his body and a brain in his head, knowing what his league is going through right now, there's no way in hell he would let this go through until he is completely satisfied that this guy is vindicated of all wrongdoing. Now, Iger and Kushner, the prospective owners, they were already vetted. Like, they were vetted. They were going to purchase a Vegas...
for an expansion team, actually.
Yeah, they were going to get a Vegas expansion franchise. Why get an expansion team when you can get the Lakers? Why get an expansion team when you can just get an already established product? It's a good deal for them. Why not? If you were going to spend that money on something you had to build from the studs up, you might as well get something that's the equivalent of a mansion, right? If this was real estate, this would be the mansion that's ready to go, turnkey, move in tomorrow.
It's a high price tag.
It's a high price tag, but...
And the interesting thing, what, it was sold 2 years ago for $10 billion, so it already went up $2 billion in 2 years.
Luca will do that for you, I guess. But they're still only, they're valued, it's very interesting that the Cowboys are still valued at $15 billion, I think. So, I think that also includes the stadium and all that stuff. But
yeah,
it
always does. Yeah, it's everything.
So, it's very interesting to me. But, Adam Silver, do your job. Do your job. You work for the owners at the end of the day. This is going to be a bad look. This is going to be an absolutely bad look if this guy's proven to be a crook after the whole Ballmer thing. So step in, do what David Stern would do, and put your thumb on this thing until you investigate.
It's not going to happen, man. It's not going to happen. It's just not going to happen. He doesn't care. He doesn't care. And the TV rights deal that they signed shows that nobody else cares either, Z. At the end of the day, the NBA has taken the first step in what I think other leagues are going to take in understanding that they are in the entertainment business. Not the sports business, the entertainment business. And that's what the betting's about. That's what the storylines are, the documentaries, all the background shit. It's all they're stepping towards becoming WWE. That's where they're going. And, you know, I just think this, the Ballmer thing is out of control.
Yeah.
It's out of control. We are a year in and nobody's been punished for this. And they're supposed to resume basketball activities this month. This month. And the Raptors don't even know if they've got this player on their team yet. What more investigating do you need to do? Pablo laid it all out there. It's all out there, and it's all for everyone to see. It's not like anything's not disclosed here. He has the tough decision to make of what are you going to do about this owner. Because if he chooses to punish Ballmer and the Lakers and the Clippers, you better believe Ballmer is going to expose all the other owners, all the other dirty shit they're doing. We saw this happen in the NFL a couple of years ago with Daniel Snyder.
Mm-hmm.
Daniel Snyder was trying to dig up dirt on the other owners because he was about to get kicked out. This is not Daniel Snyder. This is Steve Ballmer. The Steve Ballmer. The
yes.
Microsoft guy. Like the big time, right? Yeah, he's in a bad shape. It's in a bad way. They're also going through a time where their superstars are turning over. You've got LeBron and you've got KD that are on their way out. You have their new era that's going to begin. And unfortunately, the new era that's going to begin aren't as big as these guys are. They don't, you got to understand, we kind of went from like Michael Jordan to LeBron James, right? Like we kind of eased right into that in like a 5 year span. We had Kobe Bryant. We had some big time superstars. Now, Steph Curry is a big time superstar, but he's not Kobe Bryant.
No.
He's not Michael Jordan. And LeBron, as much as we want to give him shit, he literally is like one of the best athletes to ever play professional sports. What he did in a 10-year period going to the finals every year, whether he won or lost, will never, ever be done again. There's not a player of his caliber that's coming up, that's in the league right now, and you're trying to expand. You've got guys not playing. You've got... It's just... The NBA is just a shit show. I don't know how anybody watches that and thinks there's any integrity whatsoever in this product.
And that, you know, I'm just going to jump in real quick. You want to talk about integrity? How do you put your money down as a gambler? I'm not a gambler, so I don't bet.
Mm-hmm.
But how do you put your money down on this product in the era of, like, load management?
No.
In the era of... you know, superstars deciding, hey, I'm just not going to play today. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to honor the terms of my contract. You know, Joe DiMaggio said, I'm going out there because there's some kid who's never seen me play. Fuck that kid is right. What the NBA says. Right. Fuck that kid.
I recently saw Michael Jordan talking about how he was playing for the guy all the way in the 300 section who spent half of his paycheck to go to that game, and he's talking shit about me, and I want to shut him up. Mm-hmm. That doesn't exist anymore, man. No. That does not exist anymore. We're
fully in the era of enjoy the show.
Enjoy the show, right? And Mark Cuban said it best, I'm not selling tickets to a basketball game, I'm selling tickets to an experience. What the fuck are you talking about, man? It's not between going to a Broadway show or going to a Mavs game, my friend. I want to see the highest level of competition competing against each other on the ultimate stage.
The highest level of legitimate competition.
Right. And that's the whole thing, Z. It's like, this is where this is going. And this is why we see the price tag of these franchises going up and number of games going up, because they don't care about the competitive landscape. It doesn't matter if LeBron James plays tonight. Because, oh, we've got a museum in our stadium. And, oh, the halftime show is the lady who's on the unicycle with the plates. Oh, and then after the game, they're going to be giving out free ice cream outside the stadium. Like, it's not about the game anymore. It's not about the game. So, what does it matter? It doesn't matter. You know what? You're still selling your full price tickets whether LeBron plays or not. That's some wild shit.
That's fucked up.
I'm just saying, like, that's where we're heading. That's where we're going. And as far as Iger's purchase, I actually respect the man. I read his book, Ride of a Lifetime. I'm going to tell everybody, go out there and get that book, because it's a really good book. Just talked about how he came up into the system and became one of the biggest and most important people in Walt Disney World history. And that's the other thing, is he's an entertainment guy. Why? Mm-hmm. So surprising. An entertainment guy wants to buy the Lakers, right? And I do think that he will do well and he will do good with this product, because he knows business. He knows TV rights deals. He knows all that stuff. The only thing that I'm going to say about that situation is pigs get fat, hog gets slaughtered. Now, it's a Mark Cuban line that he said a long time ago about the NFL, because he thought all their money was lied in fantasy, and he might be right. He might be right, because, you know, at the end of the day, no matter how hard the NFL tries, it's a domestic product. I don't think it has any value overseas. The NBA, I can honestly say the NBA and baseball have really invested in their overseas and their foreign dollars, because some of their best players don't speak English or speak two languages or from another country. I think we can say, like, the last 5 or 6 MVPs were not born on foreign soil. They've definitely broadened their game. But it's a game. There are rules. Rules are supposed to be enforced. If you're not going to enforce the rules, then why are we playing?
Correct.
Why are we playing? If we're not on an even scale, why are we playing? If you're able to get Daktronics and you're able to get no-show jobs for your players because you're in L.A. and you're Steve Ballmer, how can I compete if I am the Pelicans, right? And that's another thing that's on my mind. The Pelicans thing seems like that they're trying to fucking nosedive that and that team so that they can ship their ass up to Seattle or relocate them to another place. They put Joe Dumars in place and they don't trade Zion. Pelicans have made no moves this offseason, Z. None. They've done nothing. Your team was dog shit.
We're riding what we have. We believe in what we're doing here.
I believe in what we're doing. What are we doing? If it's not to win a championship, then what are we doing? So what are they doing? You know, so the NBA is a shady business. And like you said, me as a gambler and as a bettor, I'm skeptical. I wouldn't bet on the NBA. No way, no way, no how. I made my money years ago on the NBA and I'm good. I'm done. Because I don't believe in the product. I don't really believe in the baseball product much either. But football, I can bet on it. I feel some sell the confidence, because you can get hurt if you fuck around.
Greetings, football fans. This is Rita, your thrice champion in the Option Pick'em Football Challenge with D&Z. Each week, we pick the winners for every NFL regular season matchup and compete to see who comes out on top. It's free to join, and the winner gets the ultimate bragging rights and a chance to record this spot next year. Are you in? Come test your skills against me, D, Z, and the rest of the league. Visit the Fade Route socials, click join the option, and sign up today. Good luck, and we'll see you for week one.
Moving on to football, over to the preseason, where Jackson Dart of the New York Football Giants, their franchise quarterback, found himself in a familiar place after the first quarter against the Vikings, the Blue Tent. Tyrone Tracy failed to pick up a blitz from cornerback Jay Ward, and Dart went down in a heap. He went down hot. Jay Ward did not care that it was the preseason.
Fuck,
you're not
going
to pick me up. I'm going to put this guy down. To his credit, Dart returned two plays later and threw a touchdown pass to Fields. After the game, Dart seemed frustrated that after every big hit, he finds himself in the Blue Tent. Z, why is that important? Explain to Mr. Dart why we have the Blue Tent and why he keeps ending up there.
Well, this also could apply to Mr. Scataboo as well. Well, for one, when you run and lead with your head, that's a problem, which he was doing a lot of last year, same with Mr. Scataboo. When your teammates can't pick up a blitz, that one is on Tyrone Tracy.
That was bad.
He's coming in free, like, ooh.
Now, if it was a backup running back, you're like,
okay,
oh,
but that's your RB1. That's
your
RB1.
RB1, and he whiffed.
Yeah.
We're talking about Jay Ward. Jay Ward, friend of the program, great player, but not elusive.
Not really that big either. He's a corner.
Not that big.
He's
if
not a defensive end.
You can't handle it, cut him. Dive at his legs. But
right.
You literally like, go!
Tell him a story, spit in his ear, whatever you need to do.
Tell him a story, spit in his ear, just keep off my ass.
That's it. That's what you have to do is Tyrone, even just chip him. Just freaking buy.
Let him run you over.
Right.
Let him run you over. You didn't even let that happen. He went by you.
Buy your quarterback time. If you are Tyrone Tracy, your job right there is to buy Jackson Dart time.
And Ward saw past you. He didn't even acknowledge you.
Like,
you hit him on the shoulder pad, and he was like, I felt something.
Like, what was that? I don't know what that was. Was it a mosquito? I thought, got a bite on my. No. It's Tyrone Tracy. Never mind. But there's that one. That one, completely on Tyrone Tracy. You can't hold on to the ball too long, right? If it's not there, throw it away. Quarterback 101, right? What have we learned from Tom Brady? If it's not there, throw it away.
Throw it around.
You're a mobile quarterback. That one, you know, there are times where you need to step up in the pocket. On the touchdown pass, he stepped up in the pocket. He scrambled to his left. He found Malachi Fields in the corner of the end zone. Perfect. That's what you need to do. It's growing pains for Jackson Dart. Hero ball, cocky ball, swag ball, whatever you want to call it, whatever the bullshit that you were doing last year, keep doing it and you're going to have a very short career. Like, you're an athlete. That's great. But you're very athletic. Kid's got an arm. It's between the ears. Make the smart decision. That's the growing pain that Jackson Dart is going to have. Right? Much in the way of Josh Allen. You got to flush the hero out. You got to start playing within the confines of the system. Right? You can't just play street ball. You got to go in there with a plan. And sometimes it's reckless. It appears reckless. And he gets hit. He takes hard hits. He takes hits to his head. You got to learn to protect yourself at this level. Right? They're bigger. They're stronger. They're faster. They will put you in the ground, stand over you, and say, how's your wife and my kids? Like, that is what you're dealing with. And Jackson Dart, to his credit, has been able to withstand some of that. But if you want a long career in the NFL, Mr. Dart, and this goes to Mr. Scataboo as well, if you want a long career, right, if you're here for a long time, not a good time, start thinking, start using your head, that lump that's 3 feet above your ass, as Tom Hanks once said. And it's critical. It's absolutely critical that you start playing a little bit more conservatively.
Thing is, you're finding yourself in the blue tent, my friend, because you are taking fucking big hits, like enormous hits. And that's not necessarily part of the game of football. They've actually dumbed this thing down so that big hits don't get taken all the time, and you find yourself having it every fucking game. Now, listen, I get it. Tracy was supposed to pick up the blitz, 100%. And there has to be a trust factor there as a quarterback. You've got to be able to trust your guys to make the right read, make the right call, make the right play, pick up the block. However, you've got to have your head on a swivel. You've got to have peripheral vision. You've got to feel that rush and protect yourself. Get down. You were exposed, and he put you in the fucking ground, man. So there, the blue tent is there to protect you, okay? And it's just like, dude, you shouldn't have been taking that shot. So are you okay? Like, can right. you look around? Are you all right? Like, there's no reason why you took that blow, okay? So that's that part. I don't know what he is. And I, like you said, he came in three plays later and threw a touchdown pass. That's wonderful. That's fantastic. But this is grown men football. And if he doesn't learn how to protect himself sooner or later, he's going to end up like Steve Young, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, Steve Young had that happen to him, you know?
Or Daniel Jones.
Aeneas Williams came off the corner and put him to sleep. And that was the end of Steve Young's career. You've gotta protect yourself. We're only one preseason game in, and I'm not seeing you've learned your lessons. Like, and you talk about Daniel Jones, how about Sidney Crosby? These are just guys that were taking hits and getting concussions and just not able to stay on the field. So,
well, I mean, Crosby's a little bit different just from the simple fact that, you know, he's not initiating. Jackson Dart does a lot of initiating. Sidney Crosby is not, he's not what you call a grinder.
No, but in this particular instance, he didn't initiate. He was he was on the receiving end of, you know, a good cornerback.
Right.
But if you get one of those, I don't know, Myles Garrett type guys, the head is one thing, the shoulder's another thing, the knee is a completely different animal, but I'm not.
In this case, he was.
I like his girlfriend. I don't really like him too much.
In this case, you know, he had to. He just got the wind knocked out of him. So on the, in the grand scheme of things,
That doesn't do him any justice either.
Yeah.
You can't lay there. You got to get up.
Yeah.
You got to get up. Ask any quarterback. You don't give them the benefit of the doubt. Get up. You might be not able to breathe, and you might have the wind knocked. Get up. Do one of these. Get your lungs open, laying on the ground like there, in the middle of the field, too. He was on the 50-yard line.
He was on the logo. Circle, he was on the logo.
Looking like a dead lamb. Darts down.
Yeah. What else is new? That's why, you know, Jameis, you don't need to stay ready. You don't need to get ready if you stay ready. Like that's Jameis right there. He's going to, you know, he's going to be loose all year because you know Jameis is going to get a lot of burn.
And, you know, this is another situation where, you know, Harbaugh was very fortunate in being there with Joe Flacco. Joe Flacco, big guy, big time arm, Delaware blue hand, but, you know, delivered the football and played for played against a defense, right, in practice that was coming after, right?
Yeah.
And then he moves on to Lamar Jackson, he's one of the most gifted quarterbacks we've ever seen as far as a runner, as far as being elusive. You can't teach that. Like what he's able to do is, those are intangibles. He has that ability. And now you get Jackson Dart, which I want to think is a mixture of the two. He's kind of elusive, but he's also a good deep ball thrower.
Steve Young, like that was a great comparison.
I don't want to give him that much praise, but
he's like USFL Steve Young. Like he was Steve Young before he got to the Niners.
Well, what he needs, but Harbaugh needs to get in there, and he needs to make sure his OC understands what this kid's capable of, what he's not capable of, and make him understand this game a little more. Because as much as Steve Young did run and he was a problem, you know, the 49ers weren't very happy when he ran. They felt like he looked silly, he looked stupid, and this is not what this offense is about, right? But that, to his benefit, he did it amazing. But Bill Walsh hated when Steve Young ran. George Seifert hated when he ran. But, you know, the thing is you got to protect yourself. You know, you got to understand the packages. Even though you know Jay Ward is coming, I mean, I hope he knew he was coming, and you knew that Tyrone Tracy is supposed to pick him up, you still got to understand the situation, you know? Even though you're dropping back, you got to get rid of the ball.
Right.
He's coming. Whether he's coming in 3 seconds or 5 seconds, he's going to be there. I mean, what's how the good other of a blocker do you think Tyrone Tracy is?
I mean, at his size, he's better off chipping. But he's a chipper. Yes. He's not a blocker. If it was Scataboo and he got his ass ran over by Jay Ward, then it's a different story.
Tyrone Tracy just took a terrible route too. He let him come inside. He didn't even make him go outside. Like, Jesus. We're in camp.
Right.
Were we in camp? Like, I hope they rewind that play a bunch of times this week. What are you doing? Poor technique.
I mean, what are you supposed to do? You're supposed to chip and release to the flat. You give him an opportunity to get rid of that ball. But there's two things that Jackson Dart needs to learn from Tom Brady. If it's not there, throw it away. And if he's coming, just turtle. Just go down and turtle. Yeah, let him touch you.
Nate Payton was really good at that too.
Go down. Just turtle.
I'm giving up.
Turtle.
It's fine. This isn't the NFC Championship game. This is not a playoff game. We don't get any brownie points in preseason.
No. You like fishing? How about the outdoors? If you do, then Pink J Gringo is the lifestyle apparel brand for you. Built around the outdoors and not taking things too seriously, Pink J Gringo makes everyday shirts for guys and gals who live outdoors. Comfortable, wearable, and just interesting enough to get noticed. Go to pinchegringo.org, enter the promo code DNZ, and get an exclusive 15% off discount on any product. That's pinchegringo.org. Enter the promo code DNZ for an exclusive 15% off. That's pinchegringo.org.
In other preseason news, Fernando Mendoza and Ty Simpson look sharp in their preseason debuts. Are you ready to jump on either of those bandwagons?
No. Next question.
No.
So, Mendoza, 10 to 16, 97 yards, 6.1 yards per attempt, a tutty, got sacked, no picks. Okay, that's fine. You're not seeing anything of note in the preseason. Like, same thing with Ty Simpson. That's great. That's absolutely great. That
Ty had
he
great
was...
numbers. What was his numbers?
So Ty had great numbers. You're looking at 21 to 25 for 190, two tutties.
First preseason game.
So
in a complicated Rams offense.
Yes. Against a vanilla Chiefs defense. You're not seeing anything.
Sure.
Right? Same thing with the Cardinals. They're not throwing anything
on
at you.
On the road.
Right.
On the road.
Against the Chiefs. Yes.
Against the Chiefs.
That's impressive. But is it something where it's like cut Matthew Stafford right now? No.
I don't think that's where I'm going.
No, if anything, he beat out Stetson Bennett.
Let's put it this way, Z. He played better than I thought he would.
Yes.
Would you give him that much?
I would give him credit, but at the same time, I'm like...
He's not Josh Rosen, right?
No.
And he's not Trey Lance.
No.
Right. Trey Lance looked awful in his preseason debut again.
Because Trey Lance is an awful quarterback. I think we have to come to the realization that Trey Lance isn't that good.
Man, my man made some money, man.
He did.
Made some money.
He did.
God.
He made money off of potential. Not of actual, of potential. Potential and $3 will get you on the bus. That's it. But, you know, Ty Simpson, that's great. As the guy who they're grooming to be the heir apparent to Matthew Stafford, he didn't do anything to embarrass himself. He didn't do anything that would say, Jesus Christ, we need to rethink this. And same thing with Mendoza. He didn't do anything to make you think that, oh my God, he's the next Jamarcus Russell, right?
No,
he was fine.
he didn't do anything to make me think that he's the next to Marcus Russell, but he delivered the ball accurately in the pocket with some zip on it, you know?
Correct.
He didn't look too overwhelming for him.
Mm-hmm.
He looked calm, composed. He looked prepared.
In Indiana, they ran a spread offense. He's under center for like the first time in his life.
Right. Right.
So that's something else to think about.
Another thing that Jackson Dart has never even had a snap count.
Right.
You know that, right? In college, he didn't have a snap count.
He has a clap count.
He had a clap.
He had a clap count. Yeah.
Gruden was like, what the hell is that? It's my cadence.
Huh?
What the hell are you talking about, man?
the fuck is, are you a cheerleader? Why are you clapping? But, you know, I mean, it the Rams, they will be better off with Simpson as their backup than Stetson Bennett just because Simpson is younger, and I think that he will see the field, right? I mean, if Fernando Mendoza sees the field, it's because he's going to start week one. I think that you're going to, like, Kirk Cousins has not looked great. But we've seen the reports, we've seen the play. He's just merely okay, right? Simpson is the QB of the future. Mendoza is the QB of the present. When the present starts is up to Clint Kubiak and indirectly to Kirk Cousins. If he's playing his way out of a job, like
he looks sharp.
That's possible.
All right. Looks sharp.
That's good.
Looks slow but sharp.
Maybe that's what he. Maybe he just needed Max Crosby to fuck him around. Maybe
their offense is good. Good. Their offense is good.
But let I remind you about Diet Coke football, ladies and gentlemen. The Giants went undefeated last year in Diet Coke football.
Hey man, the Giants are doing pretty good until people got hurt.
They were fine.
They were doing good.
Yeah,
they're a playoff team.
They should have been 8-9 last year, right?
They were a playoff team, Z. They lost Malik Nabers, and they were in what game in October, and they were a playoff team still. And then they lost Scadaboo, and then it all started to fall apart. Jackson Darko's the concussion protocol, and then it's like, all right, what are we doing? Wandale Robinson was a monster last year. Like they were a good team.
They had the opportunity, but coaching failed them as well. Defense, yes.
Right.
They should have been an 8-win team. 8-9 right. Doesn't get you in the playoffs. I know what you're saying. I understand what you're saying. But 8-9 doesn't get you there. But it also doesn't get you in position to draft in the top 5. So it kind of is what it is. And, you know, keeping Shane Bowen as long as they did, retaining Brian Daboll for as long as they did, not going to Jameis sooner. I mean, Russ was okay. Could they have been better with Jameis? I don't know. It remains to be seen. Because both Russ and Jameis had that team in position to win.
Right?
Jameis had him in position against the Packers. And then Russ had him in position against the Cowboys. And then the defense shit the bed and failed them. So with a competent head coach, with a competent coordinating system, with basically an influx of Ravens, maybe.
Oh, I love Isaiah Likely.
Likely look great. Patrick Ricard is going to be great for this team. He's going to bust open holes.
Yeah,
like it's what he's going to do, right? They brought in Daniel Filele, I think. Like they.
That's a lot coming through the gap when you got Pritchard and Scadaboo.
Yeah,
a lot.
So you know this team is going to be better, but they needed that infrastructure to come in because you had a guy who's incapable of doing it. But to tie it back to Mendoza and Simpson, you have Sean McVay, right? Kind of coaching this kid up. You have him learning under Matthew Stafford. We'll talk a little bit more about Matthew Stafford later, but you got some pretty competent quarterback play there, right? And on Mendoza's side, you have Kirk Cousins, who's made a shit ton of money in this league by being competent. Dare I say good? Like, he's never gone past good. Kirk Cousins has been good. And then, if he doesn't learn anything from Kirk Cousins, he's got Clint Kubiak, son of Gary Kubiak, who just was a backup quarterback in the league forever. And then, if he really doesn't have the answers, he can go knock on Tom Brady's door. Both of these guys are going to be A-OK. The learning tree for both of these guys is well-defined, And I think that they're going to be in excellent hands.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think one of the things I can see with McVay doing is kind of like an Aaron Rodgers, Brett Favre situation. So you have Stafford, and you know you're going to bring Ty Simpson along.
Yeah,
and he's just going to be ready. You know, because that's what I saw. I saw a kid that was ready, like not ready to start, but ready, like could make the throws and understood the offense and understood what we're trying to do here. You know, and the same thing with Mendoza. I felt like he was a kid that got in the pocket, didn't get overwhelmed, ran when he had to run, threw when he had to threw into really narrow windows. I mean, really narrow throws he made. And I think you have to feel good if you're a fan of both those teams. As far as jumping on a bandwagon, I was impressed with Ty Simpson. I expected what Mendoza did, but Ty Simpson, I thought, was not a first-round pick. I thought he's a garbage player, and he actually played very well in a preseason game. And I know it's preseason, it's vanilla, it's Coca-Cola, it's whatever you want to call it. But to get out there on that field and not get put into the ground like Jackson Dart did, that's a home run.
Avoid messy accidents. Get better stopping power with your brake pads. Callahan brake pads. You never know when you'll be driving in the road and there will be a truck tire that you need to avoid and save your family. Callahan Auto, you really care about what's under your hood.
Sticking with football, kinda. The Commanders quarterback, Jaden Daniels, that's a professional quarterback in the National Football League.
Correct.
Going into his third year, is beefing with his alma mater, LSU, over issuing his number 5 to sophomore cornerback DJ Pickett, who wore 3 last season. In response, the 2023 Heisman winner and professional quarterback in the National Football League informed the school that he is denying them the use of his name, image, and likeness. Pickett has stated he has no intention of changing his number back. I don't even know why this guy's called. So how does this end for LSU, Pickett, and Daniels?
And just so you guys know, this is not the 5th topic out of respect for Jaden Daniels. So this is beyond petty. This is so petty that it's gone into stupid. You're a professional quarterback. You're in your third year in the NFL. You're trying to do something with the Commanders here, right? And you have a lot to prove, considering last year was injury-plagued and lost. Why are you beefing with a kid? Why are you beefing with a kid? Why does this even entertain your fancy? You have about a month to get your ass ready for week 1. Why is your focus not totally on that? That is a major problem. And if I'm Dan Quinn, I'm freaking out right now. I may not say it publicly, but I'm freaking out internally. Like, what the fuck is wrong with this guy? Like, this is what he cares about? His number? His college number? We got bigger fish to fry here, man. Lest I remind you, the Commies were in the NFC title game 2 seasons ago. Maybe it got caught by surprise. Maybe it was the case, but still, you got there. You were there. That's what you're capable of. Focus on the task at hand. This kid Pickett, apparently he's had 5 since he was in like Pop Warner. So like, fine, whatever, dude. Like, have 5. You don't see Odell Beckham freaking out. Like, Odell Beckham wore 3 in college. You don't see him freaking out over this kid having the number. Right? How does LSU make this go away? Money. Money. Pay Jaden Daniels to shut the fuck up. Like, that's pretty much it. Like, it's a payday. Like, that's the only thing I could see settling this. Like, what's he going to do?
You're not serious, are you?
What's he going to do? Go to court?
Like, this Wait, I don't understand. You're telling me that if you're the AD of LSU, you're going to pay him? Because someone else recourses? Is wearing his number?
What recourses do you have? If I want to have the name, image, and likeness of the 2023 Heisman Award-winning quarterback, he's withholding his services, right?
See, if the I'm kid's not giving his fuck. I've got Joe Burrow won a championship here. I don't really give a shit about Jaden Daniels. In fact, I might say Jaden Daniels poop. I'll take all his shit down. I don't give a fuck about Jaden Daniels. You're kidding.
No, of course I'm not serious.
You're not.
I'm not serious. But if they really wanted, I mean, that's the only recourse, right? Like, if they wanted to entertain this, they would have to throw money at the problem. Like, I mean, this kid is not backing off the number.
A dime at the problem. The problem started because this kid took his number. That's how this all started. And if I'm looking at this across my desk, I'm like, what are we talking about right now?
It is so ridiculous.
You have nothing better to do right now than to worry about who's wearing your college number? Huh?
He's not working hard enough in commies camp.
What are you talking about? Are you supposed to be learning a playbook, getting your shoulder better, getting your elbow better, getting ready to play professional football? Forget about LSU. LSU shouldn't be on your radar anymore. That's old news. That's not of an importance at all. If you're worried about what college player, like, what if I wanted to buy a Jaden Daniels jersey? Are you going to be upset that I'm wearing that number? What if I bought a Commander's number 5 jersey and put my name on the back? Is he going to come and sue me?
You just got fucking sued.
Is he coming after me? You're sending a cease and desist to LSU? Motherfucker, you wouldn't be in this league if it wasn't for LSU. You're a top pick because of LSU. You don't see... We had the Tyrone Mathieu. We got Joe Burrow. We got Odell Beckham Jr. We got Justin Jefferson.
Jamar Chase?
Daniels, who? What are we talking? What the fuck have you done?
Jamar Chase. Who else?
My God, there's a plethora.
Jarvis Landry.
Clyde Edwards-Helaire was a good player. I know he didn't turn out to be a good NFL player, but yeah, Jarvis Landry, the list goes on. McFarlane was defensive tackle was an LSU player. What are we talking about, man?
It's a drop in the bucket. Really is a drop in the bucket. But it really reflects poorly on Jaden Daniels and shows you. It really shows you how thin-skinned this guy is, and that's a problem. If you're Dan Quinn, you gotta be privately fuming. Maybe not so privately. It's like, what the fuck are we doing here?
What are we doing here?
And Mariota's hurt.
What are you bothering yourself with right now? What are we doing? What are we doing? Like, what? I am perplexed by the story, Z. What are we talking about?
You have to concern yourself with the fact that not only is he brittle, right? He's becoming RG3 2.0.
Last I checked, we don't retire college numbers. That's something Colorado did for Sanders' kid.
Yes, for Hunter and Shedeur Sanders. And they're the only two alumni allowed. And they're not – did they even graduate? No, they just got drafted. So, like, they're the only two allowed back, apparently. So, yeah, this is a major red flag if you're the commies. And it's got to be a money grab. Like, he can't be this thin-skinned, right?
No, he's got money, though. This guy,
I don't understand.
He's had money. His mom is actually, like, a really good entrepreneur. Like, she's got her own businesses. She's got her own money. And Jaden's got his. It can't be.
This reminds me of when Lamar Jackson tried to trademark 8. He tried to trademark the number 8.
Yeah, I remember.
How do you trademark a number?
Stop.
A number that isn't associated only with you. No. Troy Aikman did it too.
Troy tried to do that?
I think Troy Aikman had the trademark. Really? Like, who the hell knew? But you know what? You tell me 8, I think Alex Ovechkin. Sorry. He's the great 8. Sorry, guys. But this is petty. It's stupid. It's funny. I'll give him that. We needed that in the dog days of summer, right? But yeah, ultimately, this can't go anywhere. It can't. And I can't believe Dan Quinn hasn't pulled him into his office and knocked his shit off.
Yeah, like, if you're Dan Quinn, what do you say, Z? What do you do?
I don't know, because...
I really don't know. I would think it's a joke. I'd kind of laugh it off if I was, like, brass at the Commanders.
Yes.
And Dan Quinn, just like...
The media department.
Yeah. I wouldn't even address it. I wouldn't even address it because I don't even know what to say.
Yeah.
I wouldn't even know what to say. We gotta get ready for the NFL season.
Right. Like, so the media department needs to get in there. Be like, show up 5 minutes late to a press conference today. Out of respect for myself, I showed up 5 minutes late. Like, just make a joke and move on. Like, that's it.
That's a good one. I like
That's all you gotta do.
You have to. At this point, you have to make light of the situation because this is gonna come down hard. Like, am I not allowed to give high fives to people? Because number five, I gotta give high fours.
What? I don't know.
I just don't understand why you care. I would take it as an honor, right?
Mm-hmm.
Are you telling me that when you leave the Commanders, nobody's gonna be allowed to wear the number five anymore?
You're not gonna be able
to have your picture up in our facility anymore? What? What?
But that's the thing about the NFL. Your number could end up in the Ring of Honor. You better fucking play like it. You better fucking play like it.
Right, he didn't even win there, if I remember. He didn't win. No. Did he win?
I don't think so. He won his Heisman. He got his Heisman.
He got a Heisman, but he didn't win. No. You want to be Joe Burrow or you want to be Jaden Daniels? I want to be Joe Burrow. Joe Burrow had a gangster team. That team was low.
I mean, if college is your be-all, end-all, yes, you'd rather be Joe Burrow. But in the NFL, neither one of them.
Very, very odd. Very, very odd start. Story.
Discover Afuera Coffee's vibrant flavors from certified Rainforest Alliance farms in Central and South America. Enjoy rich, smooth, and aromatic brews while supporting sustainability. Taste excellence with every sip. Use our promo code DNZ for an exclusive 15% discount only at AfueraCoffee.com. That's AfueraCoffee.com. 15% off using our promo code DNZ.
Over to another odd story. LSU product, Pirates pitcher Paul Skeens. Yeah, that guy.
Him.
Skeens' turn in the rotation was skipped against the Red Sox this past weekend, but he'll pitch against the Tigers in the finale this week. Skeens seems to be struggling with velocity and has not been invincible this year. So, Z, should we just skip to the surgery, or we gotta wait for him to blow out his elbows? Or well, 2 years from now when we have baseball.
2 years from now when you have baseball and they trade him to the Dodgers for like a ham sandwich and an autographed Oral Hershiser jersey.
And he becomes an all-world pitcher.
Right. When they trade him for an autographed Eric Karros bat. So he's 9-11, a 3.88 ERA. Not terrible. Record is bad. But 3.88 is not terrible. You can work with 3.88. I mean, it's a far cry...
He has an ERA of 5 since the All-Star game.
Yes. But you're looking at his career, 1.96, 1.97, and it ballooned, it almost doubled to 3.88. Now, his record, 11-3, 10-10, 9-11. That's a product of the era we're living in, 5 and fly. He only went 5 innings, he threw 68 pitches against the Marlins. And Don Kelly noticed the drop in velocity. Oh, and do you want to know what the velocity is dropping to? 95.7.
95.
Oh my God, he's only throwing 96.
Well, when your shit don't move, Z, yeah. It's coming when in straight 95, it's going out straight 110.
It's straight as a friggin' string. And his curveball, or slurve, whatever they want to call it now, right? Curve, slurve, blah, whatever. If it starts at a ball, people are now going to take it. There's enough tape on Paul Skeens, right? His sweeper is pretty much automatically a ball.
Yeah.
So I'm going to spit on that. Pro hitters are going to spit on that. And if it's straight as a string, that pitch is going fucking yard. And you should have known something was up when the Mets lit him up.
Opening day.
The Mets chased him. That's all you need to know. He's been struggling with this all season long. But of late, it has been particularly bad. is it something that's going to require surgery? I don't think so. Not when you're throwing 96. I think that, yes, it's a significant drop off from what, 98? He lost like 2-3 miles an hour on his fastball. That's a problem. But it's movement. It's movement. It's mechanics. It's something that is correctable. And it's something he needs to get into the lab and he needs to correct it. He's 24, so he still has plenty of time to make this adjustment, right? And Mizorowski is going to learn that too. This is a league of adjustments. You need to adjust to them. They need to adjust to you. And then vice versa. You're going to have to readjust. This is life as a baseball pitcher in the major leagues. I think he will be fine. I think this is something that is correctable. Now, if it's a severe drop in velocity where you're not even topping 90 anymore, then it might be time to go see Dr. Andrews. It might be time to, if it's a significant drop in velocity.
I think the concern, Z, is not that it's a significant drop. It's the consistency, right? He can dial it up and then all of a sudden it's down 3 or 4 miles per hour and he's not doing that on purpose. That's where the problem comes.
Then it's a conditioning issue. If he can't sustain it, then it's a conditioning issue. If he's not doing what JV is doing, because what is Justin Verlander known for? Yeah, pumping 92 at the beginning of the game and then dropping 97, 98.
But he's
that
also
is what
doing
Justin
it on
Verlander
purpose,
trained
right?
himself to do.
Yeah, right. But he's doing it on purpose. Skeens is saying he's not changing anything and it's not coming out as hard. It's not coming out as fast. I don't know if it's conditioning because it sounds like something's wrong. Something's misfiring. Something's wrong with the engine. Something's wrong with the car. Okay? When I'm putting my foot all the way down the gas, sometimes I'm going 100 miles per hour. Sometimes I'm only going 95. That's a problem. When I think I'm going to blow somebody away with 100 mile per hour or 99 mile per hour fastball, and it only goes 94 or 95, well, then it left the yard. Right? So I do think there's a serious issue going on, and I know the Pirates are still in it, but I almost think I would shut him down for a longer period of time, maybe until September, and then see what happens when he comes back. I'm not saying don't let him throw at all. I don't want him to get hurt, but just to see if it is fatigue. Maybe you're right. Maybe the arm is tired. But then that's an even bigger problem, right? He's 20. He's a young guy.
He's 24.
This shouldn't be happening, right?
No.
And I'm pretty sure he had Tommy John already, right?
Yes. He had in college, I want to say.
When he was in the Air Force. Yeah, I'm pretty sure he had it already. So, you know, you're talking about the ace of your staff. People were willing to give up all their draft picks. Not all their draft picks. All their dreams and all their... your young talent for this guy, and now it's like, gee, I don't know. You can't consistently throw a certain mile per hour. I don't know what your value is. How can I trust anything that you do? So,
maybe this is also a sign that I need to be more than a two-pitch pitcher. Maybe I need to develop a changeup. Maybe I need to develop a splitter. Maybe I need to develop something else that's going to get them off my fastball.
How about this, Z? Whatever happened to location, 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 man? Like, how come we can't work on that?
Change of speed, change of plane, change of location. Yes.
Right. I mean, I just learned a whole bunch about Sasaki, and I'm not Sasaki, Yamamoto.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, my man is like a wizard because he changes the plane and he changes the delivery, and that's what makes him unhittable. He's literally unhittable. Like, if you think it's coming out here, it's coming out here, it's starting here, it's ending up here. Forget it.
He's the Japanese Louis Tion.
Right. I think he needs to rethink himself as a pitcher, and I think he's young enough where he can figure it out. Like, we don't know what they teach. I think they teach now to throw as hard as you can, as long as you can.
No.
There's nothing wrong with throwing a 92 mile per hour dot on the outside corner, especially now with, the assist of replay and, the pitching, to be able to challenge pitch calls.
Right.
I mean, and keeping the ball down. Just keep the damn ball down. You keep the ball down, you're fine, But you know how hard it is to get down there and get a 95 or 96 mile per hour up and out? man. You gotta have some strength and power. Keep the ball down, pitch away to guys, learn location. It doesn't have to be this 97, 98 mile per hour thing. I'd rather you be able to put it where you want it than throw it as far as you can. They don't teach that.
They don't teach that. That's the problem. Everything is max effort for as long as you can. Now, if you wanted to model yourself, there are three pitchers for a guy like Paul Skenes. There are three pitchers I would model myself after because I have the build and I have the physical strength to do it. Number one is Roger Clemens. Number two is Nolan Ryan. Number three is Tom Seaver. What do all three of them have in common? Their delivery was because of the strength of their legs. The right. Legs feed the wolf, right? The drop and drive from Seaver is legendary. Nolan Ryan pitched till he was 46 years old. Roger Clemens looks like he can still go. And he would probably throw at his kid and father-son.
Dave Winfield said it was the hardest pitcher he faced against with Tom Seaver.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Why? Because of his trunk. And Paul Skenes is a strong kid. You can tell he's a strong, strong kid. Use your legs. Drive with your legs. It can't all be with your arm. You're going to blow your arm out. You're going to blow your shoulder out. Like, you have to use your whole body. The same way hitting is a whole body activity, pitching is a whole body activity. And then include your brain, too. Like what you were saying. Like Greg Maddux didn't have elite stuff. He had good stuff, right? He's not blow away stuff, but he knew what he had and he knew where to put the ball. Like, Greg Maddux could put the ball exactly where he wanted to every single time. And what happened? He changed his speed, he changed his plane, and he changed his location. He actually pitched. If you were to develop that, right, and keep 95, that's an elite level pitcher, right? That's Roger Clemens. That's Nolan Ryan. But if you still want to be this guy who's just going to be a two-pitch pitcher, I'm just going to go as long as I can and as hard as I can, that's not going to be a long career, right? Like, it's fine for where we are, but it's not going to give you any sustained excellence. You're just bound for another TJ. And rest in peace to Tommy John before we forget. Tommy John passed away at the age of 83. And without him, without his willingness to go under the knife with Dr. Frank Job and continue his career for 13 more years after his surgery, without that, you know, we wouldn't be talking about Paul Skenes right now. We wouldn't be talking about multiple pitchers who came back and had a hell of a career. So, you know, rest in peace, Tommy John. But for Paul Skenes to have a long career, it's about time he starts learning the job description of what a pitcher does.
You can't help but smile when you see a balloon. PopStarsBalloons.com offers spectacular balloon decor for all of life's events, specializing in custom balloon creations and installations for private events, corporate and school functions, photo shoots, brand events, and fundraisers. Led by certified balloon artist, the PopStars Balloon team shape balloons into custom works of art. PopStar Balloons provides full concept balloon design, build and installation services, as well as pre-assembled decor pieces available for pickup or delivery. PopStar Balloons is a woman-owned, small family business focused on providing professional balloon services using only high-quality, 100% biodegradable natural latex balloons made in the U.S. and Italy. They consistently prioritize the safest use and handling of balloons in a sustainable and responsible manner. PopStars Balloons is located in Westchester County, New York, but likes to party at events throughout New York City, Connecticut, Long Island, and New Jersey. PopStars Balloons can also accommodate balloon decor services for destination events. No event too big, no event too small, and their custom personalization service is the perfect touch. They also offer a full line of event decor options like backdrop, prop rentals, tablescapes, dessert table setups, custom signs, and they always deliver with a smile. Whether you're looking for gift balloons, classic decor, or large-scale design for a big impact, Popstars Balloons will create the perfect decor for your theme, vibe, and space. So if you have an idea in mind or need inspiration, Popstars Balloons decor will be the cutting edge and spectacular. Visit popstarballoons.com to pop your next event.
Bullshit or no shit? We're going to debunk this week's most controversial topics right now. All right, boys and girls, we have some statements, and they're either bullshit or no shit. Bullshit or no shit. Number one, Kevin Garnett deserves to have his number retired by the Timberwolves.
Oh, Z, you know me.
I wonder who wrote this question.
You know me, man. Listen, he didn't win there. Mm-hmm. He didn't win. So, listen, if we're going to get into the boat of trademarking him, then, I mean, if we're going to get into the boat of retiring his jersey, you got to retire Stephon Marbury's jersey. The only jersey that's retired by the Timberwolves currently is Malik Sealy, and that was because he died in a car accident. So those are the two people we're going to hang in the rafters, Malik Sealy and Kevin Garnett. And we don't have any championships. What are we doing here? What are we doing here? He went to another place and won. It's like the most it's like putting Darrell Revis in your Ring of Honor. Oh, there's a team that did that. Right. No, I'm not on board with this. I appreciate Kevin Garnett. He was a fantastic player for our organization. But no. He doesn't deserve to get his number retired. He didn't win there. So I'd say bullshit.
I'm going to go no shit on this. Again, it's the team's prerogative. If they want to do that, they're more well within their right to do it. Like you said, they're not abusing the retired numbers in Minnesota because only Malik Sealy has his number retired. I would agree Stephon Marbury would be next. I mean, he didn't play there as long as Kevin Garnett did. He played 14 years in Minnesota. Now, yes, he went back after his time in Brooklyn ended, and it didn't go as well the first go round, but he averaged 20 points a game. And he and Stephon Marbury, as a tandem, got that organization farther than anybody before or after. So there's got to be something to that. That organization hasn't won, period. So we can't count rings here because the organization doesn't have any. You can't even say, like, oh, this is the greatest, you know. Like, you know, we can't compare him to another guy who won multiple rings. There is nobody. There's nobody. So, the Timberwolves are within their right. I would say Anthony Edwards might end up being the greatest Timberwolf of all time. Maybe one day he'll take that mantle. But as of right now, that belongs to Kevin Garnett. For longevity purposes and for performance purposes. And kudos to the NBA and kudos to the Timberwolves for scheduling this when the Celtics are in town. All right? So you have his two teams where he was most successful. And, I mean, I think that's a nice touch. And we'll just leave Brooklyn out of this. Bullshit or no shit. Number two, Kodai Senga has what it takes to be an elite closer.
Elite, huh?
Elite.
I like the word elite in there. I'm gonna say bullshit. It's too small of a sample size. I mean, I think when he comes in the game, I'm not a Met fan, but I just think anything can happen right now. It's not like when Mariano would come in, or it's not like when Francisco Rodriguez would come in. You know, I don't know what's going to happen. It could be, you know, three outs. Could be people on all the bases. You know, whether the fourth ball is working or not. I do think this is a better position for him. I think he's a guy that can come in a game, face three or four batters, and be done. I think over the long stretch of him playing and seeing multiple batters, multiple innings, that's not going to get it done. He doesn't have that good stuff to get quarter once, twice, even three times. But for a person to see him and see what he's about, he could trick them, he can fool them, he can get them out. So I'm going to say leak closer, no, but I think he's found a spot where he can be successful for the New York Mets.
Well, if not for the Mets, right? Then for another team too. I think that it's the best spot for him. Like, they can turn him into an elite closer for somebody else, right? They've shown the blueprint that he could do this. He's 3-for-3 in saves. And I think it's no shit. He just extended his career in the States by a few years just from 3 relief outings. Why? I mean, I don't need 6 pitches. I got a good fastball and I got that forkball. I got that nasty forkball. I only need 2 as a reliever. I'm not Paul Skeens, right? I'm not seeing them 3 times through the order. I just need 2 quality pitches. And you have them. It's right there. You shelve the windup. You go straight from the stretch. 2 pitches. That's all you need. Mariano Rivera made a unanimous Hall of Fame career from 1 fucking pitch. Mariano Rivera threw 1 pitch in his entire career, and it was damn effective. If Kodai Senga can streamline his mechanics and streamline his stuff into 2 pitches that are highly effective, that's elite closer material. Where Senga falls apart is between the ears. A mechanical flaw can't cost him 6 weeks. He can't build back from scratch. He can't tear it down and put it back together like he's been doing with the Mets, right? 1 minor injury and then you don't see him again. Like, he's a ghost. Like his forkball, it's a ghost. He's a ghost. You can't have that. The mental fortitude isn't there. So far, in games that don't matter because the season is over, sure, Senga looks great. Let's see when you ratchet up the intensity a little bit. Let's see what happens when you ratchet up the stakes and the expectations. But the stuff is there. The stuff is absolutely there. It's potential. And on that, it's no shit. Potential, potential. Potential $3, get you on the train. Bullshit or no shit, number 3. Matthew Stafford deserves to be in the conversation for all-time greats.
So I bring this up because someone brought up a great... I thought it was a great little stat. Yeah. You shouldn't go 15 years between playoff wins and be considered all-time great. And I think that is, you know, if a quarterback goes 15 years without a playoff win, he's not in the conversation of all-time greats. And I think that's fair. I don't know any player who, you know, didn't win the first 15 years they were playing a sport, and then all of a sudden they're the greatest quarterback in the league. And this goes back to the thing I said earlier. It's like, it's just a war of attrition with Matthew Stafford. He is just a product of all the players that he played with are now gone. All those great players that he played against, all those years are gone. So clearly he's the only one left on top. He's the only one left. You know, you always say cream rises to the top. Well, in this situation, everything left. So he's the only person left. There's no Drew Brees. There's no Tom Brady. There, you know, this is it. So I agree with this wholeheartedly. I don't think he can be in the conversation of all-time greats. So I am going bullshit.
I agree. It's complete bullshit. I mean, all-time great what? Players? Hell no. When you take other positions into account, hell no. Fuck no. F no. Right? Because then you have other guys who didn't win at other positions
who are arguably better than Matthew Stafford, right? Who Barry Sanders is we'll stick with the Lions. Barry Sanders, he's up there. Calvin Johnson, he's up there. And now let's go to quarterbacks. Is he a top 10 quarterback of all time?
No, I would say no.
I would say no. You figure Elway, Kelly, Marino, Brady, Peyton, Drew Brees, Mahomes is going to end up there. You can argue Rodgers. I'm not even getting into guys like Bradshaw. I'm not getting into Ken Stabler. I'm not getting into Aikman, Steve Young, Montana. Warren Moon. Randall Cunningham. I would say Randall Cunningham had a good career trajectory, you know? This is just a no.
Kurt Warner.
That's tough. They're kind of in the same boat.
You think they're in the same boat?
I think they're kind of in the same boat.
I think they're more impressive what Kurt did.
Yeah, if we're going from Iowa Barnstormers, yeah, I would think so.
But and getting the Cardinals to the Super Bowl.
Yes. Yes. So, in that regard, yeah,
like, you put Kurt Warner on that Rams team that Matthew won. Kurt Warner went to Super Bowl.
Yeah.
You put Matthew Stafford on that Cardinals team? I don't know, man. I don't know. I don't know if they get there. I don't know.
I didn't mention Roger Staubach. But, you know, like, come on, what are we talking about here? Matthew Stafford just doesn't stack up. He just doesn't stack up. And he's a product of all... He's a product of his era. And that's okay. Right? Like, if you think about it, who were his contemporaries? Guys that came in around the same time that he did. Matt Ryan, Joe Flacco. Kind of in that vein. Right? He's kind of in the same boat. Flacco, right? I mean, Matt Ryan didn't win anything, but Matt Ryan was a prolific passer.
I'd actually put him in that boat. I put him in the Matt Ryan boat.
Yeah. So
same kind of thing. They got drafted early, played for, you know,
it's all right.
Franchise with a really good wide receiver. They both had really good wide receivers. Right. They both had decent running backs for a while.
I didn't mention Brett Favre. I didn't mention Aaron Rodgers.
No, please don't.
But you know, like there's so many. I didn't mention Ben. Like, I mean, he's probably. I would say Ben's probably better. If we're doing apples to apples.
Oh my God, he's better. Yes. Yeah. Come on.
Phillip Rivers.
Why does Ben get such a shit rap? Have you watched Ben? Have you gone back and watched the old games of Big Ben playing? Big dude. He's running all over the field like a lunatic. And he had a cannon. My God, Ben Roethlisberger.
He was good. But Ben Roethlisberger is good. I mean, kind of in the same boat. Right? He played through injuries much like Matthew Stafford plays through injuries. Right? Duct tape and a wish. That's what Matthew Stafford's hung his career on. But no. Yeah. It was unfortunate that he got drafted to the Lions.
Stop. If he played with one of the best wide receivers of all time. I don't want to hear it.
If he got drafted, hang on. If he was on a better team, would he have been in the wilderness for 15 years?
No. But I don't think his team was that bad. His team wasn't that bad. He just played
wasn't
in division
he the quarterback
with a lot
of
other
good 16
teams.
Team?
What?
Was he the quarterback of the 0-16 Lions?
No. They drafted him.
That was Joey Harrington.
Yeah. Well, there's a bunch of people that play quarterback.
John Kitna.
They drafted him the year after.
Got it. So, there's that. But, no. Matthew Stafford has a very nice career. Yeah, no, not even close. He's in like the far suburbs. Like, we're talking about hours away from all-time great.
Phillip Rivers.
Rivers
played with a lot of good players.
Rivers played with a lot of good players too. I would say he's kind of in the same boat too. If we're going to talk about like the playing with the high level talent and not doing much of anything. Yeah.
But Phillip Rivers won some playoff games.
He did. He did. So did Matt Ryan. Matt Ryan got to Super Bowl. He had Tony Gonzalez. He had Roddy White. Yeah, I would say that's a good group. Like that's a good group. So Stafford, Rivers, Ryan, Flacco. I think that's a good player comp, a good group for him to be in, but nowhere near the all-time greats at anything.
Step outside of your safe area and make a statement without saying much with FCK Clout Lifestyle Apparel. Embrace the colorful chaos and stay emotionally regulated in their graphic tees, hoodies, snapbacks, accessories, and more. Go to fckclout.com today and check out current season and past season merchandise for men and women. Get it while you can. That's fckclout.com. Check them out today. fckclout.com. Who's the best of the worst this week in sports? The Fade Store presents the Alleged Superstar of the Week Award.
All right, boys and girls, you know what time it is. It's time for the Alleged Superstar of the Week. You know how it goes. We put up a poll on our Instagram account at Fade Round Podcast and vote. And you vote, and you vote, and you vote. And the winner of said vote gets a shout on this year's show and takes home the coveted-ass trophy. And do you know who took home the coveted-ass trophy last week, Dave?
I don't.
The Buffalo Bills. The Buffalo Bills. Building a stadium in Western New York that doesn't cover the fans, that doesn't cover the field, and has obstructed view. Well done. Well...
Bully.
Well fucking done. But that was last week. This is this week. Who are your nominees for Alleged Superstar of the Week, dude?
Oh, I've got some fucking gems this week, man. All right, so first up, I've got the quarterback of the New York Football Giants, Daxon Dart. Oh, only a couple of snaps into the preseason, and you find yourself in the blue tent. And after the game, you want to know why. Why every time I take a big hit, I'm in the blue tent? Well, dipshit, those hits could result in CTE. We're trying to save your life. We're trying to get you to realize that you cannot keep taking big hits, okay? So stop taking big hits. You won't be in the tent. Look at where the rush is coming from. Don't lead with your head. And for the fuck's sake, just get down. Get down.
That's it.
Daxon Dart, you are my legend star of the week. Number two, love this one. Absolutely love this one. And this is outfielder for the New York Yankees, Heliot Ramos.
Ooh.
Oh, you're a fucking stud since you've come over. Oh, my God. You have zero home runs. You're batting 71. That's your batting average since becoming a member of the New York Yankees.
Jesus
71.
Christ.
You are 2-for-33. And your slugging percentage is 143 with an OPS of 355. Thanks for coming. Heliot Ramos, you are my Alleged Superstar of the Week. And number three, Freddie, this is a two banger, okay? See, this is a two banger.
All right, let's go.
So, Freddie Freeman and Shohei Ohtani. The Brewers come to town, and they've got Mizorowski on the mound. And the Brewers are up 4-1. But it's okay, Z, because we've just turned the batting over. The bases are loaded, and Shohei Ohtani's up. Whiff. Strikes out. Oh, it's no problem. Freddie Freeman's up next. Whiff. Strikeout. Mizorowski struck out Ohtani and Freeman with the bases loaded to preserve a 4-1 win. That's not how it's supposed to play out, Dodgers. That's not how it's supposed to play out, Freddie Freeman and Shohei Ohtani. He got both of you. He can't get both of you. Maybe one of you, but not both of you. And neither of you, could put the ball in play. The bases were loaded, assholes. Shohei Ohtani, Freddie Freeman, you both are my Alleged Superstars of the Week. What do you got, Z?
Can't argue with that. But at the same time, it's August. Those balls go yard in October. We know this. They go back to back in October.
Oh, they've seen it now.
We've seen it. We know this. What's They're up? Just playing with their food. They're playing with their
food. I'm on my show. Come up in a bit.
So.
No, not right now. Go upstairs.
We know this. They're playing with their food. Absolutely yeah. playing with their food. I am going to start with the NBA. Allowing this Lakers sale, knowing that owner of the Lakers, Mark Walter, may be into some shady shit. Knowing that this guy was under investigation for tax fraud. Right? And in 2 years' time, he went from a proud owner to getting out. That doesn't sound suspicious to you? Most times, an NBA franchise is a long-term investment. Not for Mr. Walter. Now, I understand $12 billion is $12 billion, but when you're strapped for cash the way he is, it's suspicious. But, fuck it. Whatever. We're going to let it go. What's the worst going to happen? Here he's got Steve Ballmer. Like, it's all good, man. It's all good. It's not all good. It's not all good at all. It's the farthest thing from good. NBA, you are my alleged superstar of the week. Number two, Jaden Daniels. Beefing with a sophomore cornerback and your alma mater because you don't want them giving away your number? How many people wore five before you got there, dude? How many people wore five before you got there? I don't know. In the greatest number, we did this. We ordered up the greatest number fives of all time. Jaden Daniels was on the list. Pretty sure it's Joe DiMaggio. Pretty sure. When people think of number five, they think of Joe DiMaggio. Not Jaden Daniels. Maybe one day, but not today. So, shut the fuck up. And focus on the season. Your backup is hurt, so you're going to have to play. Marcus Mariota is hurt. Shocker. The sun came up this morning, and Marcus Mariota is hurt. So you have to make sure that you are ready for week fucking one. And you got to beat the rap that you're Robert Griffin III 2.0. You have to beat the rap that you're injury prone. Because guess what? 2 years in the league, two catastrophic injuries. Oops. Focus on that instead of what's going on in Baton Rouge. Jaden Daniels, you are my alleged superstar of the week. And number three, Tyrese Halliburton. The Pacers star was miffed and shocked to learn that his first game back was not nationally televised. Huh? Who cares? No offense to Mr. Halliburton, but who cares? This is not Kobe Bryant's return. This is not LeBron James's return. This is not Steph Curry's return. This is not even Jalen Brunson's return. Right? This is Tyrese Halliburton. Yes, you're a star player. But you're not on that level, dude. You're not on that level where we're waiting for you to come back with bated breath. We're not waiting for you. I'm glad that you're back. It's great that you're back. But I think you're kind of overvaluing how much of a star you actually are. Tyrese Halliburton, you are my alleged superstar of the week. I think we said our piece. Go to our Instagram poll at Fade Route Podcast and vote. And vote, and vote, and vote. And for our nominees.
You're better than that. Just do better. Just do better.
This has been The Fade Route with D&Z. Thanks for tuning in tonight. Catch our podcast on Wednesday nights on Spotify, iTunes, iHeartRadio, or wherever you listen to your podcast. So until next time, stay fade, everyone.
Time for us to run the go route. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks for listening to this episode of our podcast. If you liked what you heard and you want to hear more, be sure to like and subscribe on your favorite podcast platform. Leave us a review, rate us 5 stars, turn on subscription notifications, and share on social media. Tell your friends and spread the word.